Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
You can be very spiritual. You can believe in the existence of God. You can be trying your hardest to keep righteousness from the outward, and you can still die and not go to heaven. That's the power of this encounter.
Nicodemus believed, but that was not enough. If you want to know God and go to heaven, it takes more. It takes a relationship. It takes being born again in the Spirit. Please stay with us for the next installment in our Essentials series, looking at those elements that are essential for a real walk with God. We're in John 3, verses 1 through 19, and here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
We are now starting a series that I have entitled Essentials, and by essentials, I mean those things in the Christian life that are essential to have a thriving, healthy, spiritual relationship with God. I'm not just talking about essentials of what it means to be saved, but the essentials that you and I need to make sure that we have a healthy relationship with the living God. We've already talked about fellowship last week, the essential of fellowship. This week I want to talk about the essential, which is a big one, and that is you must be born again. There is no one in this room who will ever make it into heaven by not being born again. Have you ever heard someone say, or maybe you've even said it, I'm a Christian, but I'm not a born again Christian. And the reason people say that is because the news, the media, has become so negative about the, quote, born agains. And listen, I don't care how negative that connotation becomes to the world, I am a born-again Christian. God has touched my heart, and I realize that I will never be able to enter into heaven unless I'm born again. You can say you're a Christian. You can say, I'm a Christian, I've been a Christian my whole life, but I am not born again. That doesn't make you a Christian. You can say you're an elephant. It doesn't mean you're an elephant. You can say you're an alligator. That doesn't make you an alligator. You can say you're smart. Doesn't make you necessarily smart. You may be smart, but just because you say you're smart doesn't make you smart. You can say, I'm a Christian, and you might not be a Christian. In fact, if you have not been born again, then you are not. Not only are there people that claim to be Christians that really aren't, there are also those that claim to be spiritual that really aren't. Those who say, I'm a really spiritual individual, and I'm in tune with the spiritual. The reason that you can't be spiritual if you're not born again is because when you are born the first time, your spirit is dead. It is dormant. It needs to be brought to life. That's what Ephesians 2 tells us, that when we are in Christ, our spirit comes to life. It actually comes to life, and you don't have it. So that people who are involved in the, quote, New Age movement, who consider themselves to be spiritual, as you listen to them, what they really talk about is being sensual, not spiritual. And I don't mean sexual when I say sensual. I mean sensual. They are trying to heighten their senses and get more in tune with the world and nature and those things around them. It's really not dealing with spirituality at all, because if you do not have your spirit brought to life by God, then you cannot be spiritual. We're going to see that clearly in the study that we have in front of us today. As we see Jesus with an encounter with a man by the name of Nicodemus. Now, Jesus had several encounters throughout the New Testament. Remember, he had an encounter with a businessman by the name of Zacchaeus. He had an encounter with a rich young ruler. He had an encounter with a prostitute. He had an encounter with a woman caught in the act of adultery. He had an encounter with a woman who really had loose morals. Now, there at the well in Samaria, there's all of these different encounters that Jesus had. And we learn specific things from each of them. The encounter that we're reading of today is Jesus having an encounter with a very religious man. In fact, read verse 1 with me. We'll learn something about Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, we're told two things about him here in this verse. Well, three. We're told his name is Nicodemus. We're told that he was a Pharisee. Pharisees believed that they could make it into heaven by being righteous. They believed that they could do certain works and because they did these works and they were religious, that they were going to make it into heaven. Jesus told his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not make it into heaven. That blew their minds, because to them there was nobody more righteous than the Pharisees. They tithed their spices. They were so uptight about keeping the law that they poured out their salt and their pepper and 10% to God, 10% to God. They tithed their mint and their cumin, but they could care less that they mistreated and hated people. They were caught up in the wrong things. Jesus said, you should have done that. That's fine. Tithe your spices. But love people and do what's right. Don't neglect these other things. Now, Nicodemus was not only a Pharisee, he was a ruler of the Jews. This means he was one of the Sanhedrin. Later on, Jesus would say to him, you are the teacher of the Jews. This means he had a very significant place in this leadership. If Nicodemus were in a room full of people and you were asked to pick out the person you thought was most likely to go to heaven, Nicodemus would be your choice. He no doubt wore a colorful robe. He looked very religious. He believed in God. I mean, why would he do it if he didn't believe in him? Nicodemus believed that God was there, and yet Jesus is going to tell Nicodemus that he can't go to heaven unless he's born again. The picture here is that you can be very spiritual. You can believe in the existence of God. You can be trying your hardest to keep righteousness from the outward, and you can still die and not go to heaven. That's the power of this encounter. Jesus doesn't have this conversation with some sinner. He has the conversation with an extremely spiritual, so-called spiritual individual. But Jesus reveals through this that everybody needs to have their spirit brought to life. Whether you are like the prodigal son today, where you have gone out and spent your life on riotous living, or whether you're a really religious person, you will find that religion can't save you. Denominations can't save you. Calvary Chapel can't save you. Why? Because denominations never shed their blood for you. Because Calvary Chapel never died for you. You have to do personal business with Jesus. Now he goes on in verse 2, we have a confession from Nicodemus. And the question that we have, is this confession good enough to save him? Listen to what he says about Jesus. This man came to Jesus by night. Why do you think he came by night, by the way? He certainly didn't want to be seen going to Jesus. And said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him. His confession was that he was a good man, that he was a good teacher. He had seen the miracles that Jesus had done, and in seeing those, he believed that he was a good man. Now, there are a lot of people today that admire Jesus. Nicodemus admired Jesus. A lot of people today admire him. I mean, really, when it comes into the reality, who doesn't admire Jesus for what he did? His compassion towards people, his love, his teachings to love one another. You really got to be messed up to not at least admire Jesus. Most people do. And so people will say to us, well, I believe that he was a good teacher. I believe that he was a prophet, but I don't believe he was God. I don't believe that he was the Messiah. Well, you really can't make that statement. And here's the reason. Jesus said you are either for me or you are against me. Because Jesus made some radical statements that if they're true or if they're not true, he can't be a good teacher. For example, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If that's not true, then Jesus just made a statement that is radical and wrong. I'll give you an example. Let's just say that I said that to you today. Robert Furrow, born in Clinton, Iowa in 1961. I now say to you, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. How do you respond to that? You guys go, well, I guess I'm going to leave. You don't have to worry about me coming back in again. I'll stay in the foyer and beyond forever because you're nuts. Because you think you're the way to God, right? Either Jesus was lying, and if he's lying about how to get to heaven or how to get to God, that doesn't make him a good man, does it? If someone lies about the way to get to God, they're bad, they're not good. Or he's a lunatic, he's deluded. He's got delusions of grandeur. He somehow thinks that he is so important that he can get people to heaven when he's not. Or He is God in the flesh. He is who he said he was. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus made several confessions of being God. In fact, the Old Testament tells us that the Messiah was going to be God. In Micah 5:2, you know the verse. It says, and you, O Bethlehem, though you are small among the cities of Judea, a ruler shall come out of you who will rule my people Israel, whose days are from old, or from everlasting, literally, whose days are from everlasting. The child that was going to be born in Bethlehem, the Old Testament says, not the New, the Old Testament says that his days were going to be from everlasting, that it was God. How about Isaiah 7:14? Again, you know it. And behold, I give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a child, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. A confession that you admire Jesus, that you think that he's a good teacher, that you believe that he's a good man, cannot save you. In fact, it doesn't make any sense. No wonder Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either going to believe what I said or you stand solidly against me. Now, Jesus cuts to the chase with Nicodemus. Nicodemus wants to flatter him. Lord, I know that you're a good teacher because no one can do the works that you do without having God. Jesus now says in verse 3, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. You and I knew that that was coming. I've already talked. You must be born again. Imagine being in Nicodemus's shoes. You show up at night because you want to talk to this guy that's doing these miracles. Blind people are seeing. Lame people are walking. Deaf people are hearing. You even have heard or maybe even had seen that someone who was dead had come back to life. The Bible, by the way, says that all of these things would be signs of the Messiah. So you want to go and hear from him. Now you show up, you kind of give him a little bit of respect, and then he says, you can't make it into heaven unless you're born again. What does that mean? What does it mean to be born again? And so Nicodemus gets sarcastic with him. Now you need to understand, Nicodemus is a teacher. This isn't like Nicodemus's first rodeo when it comes to theological things. He's been around for a while. He understands things. And so Nicodemus gets sarcastic with him in verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus knows that a full-grown man can't get back inside of his mother's womb and be born. I heard someone say once that this was a serious question by Nicodemus. No, it wasn't. He was sarcastic. Really? You know, he's kind of like now thinking, oh boy, I came out to see this guy and now he's telling me you got to be born again. How are we going to do that? Get back inside of mom and be born again? I don't think it's going to happen. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, of course, Nicodemus, I'm not saying you got to be born of the flesh twice. But unless you're born of water and of the Spirit. The water would speak of the amniotic fluid. So it would be born of the flesh, born the first time, and then born a second time of the Spirit. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You can't make it to heaven. Verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That statement is more profound than it looks when we first read it. It almost looks like an obvious statement. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But Jesus is saying something very simple. If your spirit has not been quickened to life, and you are only born of the flesh, and that is some of you here in this room, there are some of you that have not been born again, and you have just been born of the flesh. You cannot make it into heaven because heaven is spiritual. How are you going to take something born of the flesh and enter into heaven? Flesh can't find heaven. Flesh can't knock on the pearly gates. Flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the kingdom of God is spiritual. And you have to be born of the Spirit in order to make it into heaven. Now this becomes very clear to us. If you are born one time, you will die twice. You will die physically, and then you will die spiritually, or stay dead spiritually. If you are born twice of the flesh and of the Spirit, you will only die once. And some of you guys won't even die then because Jesus is coming back for us. I saw a cartoon this week that was, usually religious cartoons are a bit funky, but I saw a cartoon this last week of Jesus texting. And he texts, BRB, be right back. Right on. If Jesus is going to text anything, that's what he would text. So some of us are going to go with Jesus when he comes back, but unless you are born again, you are not going to see heaven. Why? Because heaven is spiritual. How are you going to take your flesh into heaven? You say, oh no, there's other ways to make it into heaven. Well, then do it. Show me. How are you going to get there? You got any ways figured out? What are you going to do? You die? Now you're rotting. What are you going to do? How are you going to get into heaven? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He goes on to say, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is every person born of the Spirit. This is not something that you can see. It's something that takes place behind the scenes. You can't see wind. We might look outside and say, wow, look at that wind. But what you're really saying is, look at the dirt the wind is kicking up. Look at the trees the wind is bending over. Look at the trailer blowing down the road from the wind. You're not seeing the wind. You don't know where it came from. Do any of you guys know where wind comes from? Now, some of you really, really smart people here would be able to stand up and say, well, there's thermals that rise and fall, and that creates wind. And see, I probably don't even get that right. But, you know, there's someone in here, I'll guarantee you, who could come up here and tell us what wind is about. We don't want you to, but there's someone in here who actually could do that. But the thing is that you don't know where it comes from. We don't know where it's going, but we see the effects. So it is with us. We don't know what the Spirit is doing. We don't really see it, but we see the effect of the Spirit in our lives and on our lives. And so Jesus says, so are those that are born of the Spirit. Some of you guys are going to pray when we're done, and you're going to invite Jesus into your life, and you're going to be born again spiritually. And you're not going to feel a warm fuzzy inside. You're not going to all of a sudden be like, ooh, now I know. You're not probably not going to feel anything. But what you're going to see when you leave this place is the effects of the Spirit in your life. I was 14 years old. I had gone to a church my entire life. Literally, as a baby, I was brought to church. I was baptized as a child. I was taken to church my whole life. At 14 years old, I was at the youth group. Right, it was before the youth group actually started. I was hanging out with the youth pastor. And he said to me, Robert, are you going to go to heaven? And I said, yeah. Because I had been taught that if I believed in God, I would make it to heaven. That's what my church taught. If you believe in God, you're going to make it to heaven. Now, I believed that God existed. Now, in my mind, he was some giant old guy in a rocking chair with a club in his hand waiting to whack me when I got out of line. But that was still my belief. And I said, yeah, I'm going to make it to heaven because I believe in God. And he said, well, does the devil believe in God? And I said, yeah. The devil believes in God. And he said, is the devil going to make it to heaven? I said, no. The devil's not going to make it to heaven. He said, then it must take more than just believing that God exists. And he began to explain to me that I needed to trust Jesus with my life. That the word believe doesn't mean believe that he exists. It means that I actually give my life to him and I trust him. Years ago, there was a tightrope walker by the name of Blondin. He billed himself as the Great Blondin. He would set up a tightrope over Niagara Falls, and he would walk back and forth, and crowds would gather. You would probably gather around it too, wouldn't you? He would, as part of his show, he would pretend like he was going to fall. He'd be walking across, and he'd go, whoa, and everybody on the sideline would go, oh, he almost fell. He's just, you know, giving the crowd what they wanted. People were watching him walk to see him fall, like NASCAR. You watch it for the wrecks. That's it. Now he goes across, he comes back, and he would get a wheelbarrow. And he would push the wheelbarrow across the tightrope. Everybody would watch him do it. Empty wheelbarrow, he'd push it across, and then he'd come back. When he got back to the crowd, he would say to those standing around, do you guys believe that I can push this wheelbarrow across that tightrope? They'd just seen him do it. So they would all go, yeah. He would pick out somebody who was particularly exuberant. Yeah, I believe you can do it. I just saw you do it. And he would say to them, then get in the wheelbarrow.
No.
I believe in you, but I don't believe in you that much. And see, that's the point. A lot of you believe in God, But you don't believe in him enough to get into the wheelchair. I shouldn't say a lot of you, some of you. You believe in God, but not enough to get into the wheelbarrow. You don't believe in him enough to actually say, Lord, I trust my life to you. I give myself to you. And so Nicodemus responds, verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe. How will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? He says, being born again happens here on the earth. And there is more about heaven that he could tell him, but Nicodemus would not even begin to believe it. Heaven is so much more than you and I can ever start to understand. The Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things that God has planned for those who love him. And then he says, no one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Now, when Jesus makes this statement, the Son of Man who is in heaven, it's a little bit hard to follow, but he is making a statement of the incarnation. He is in that verse saying, the one who descended is the one who's going to ascend. The Son of Man who is in heaven, God became a man. See, his confession in the beginning was, you're a good teacher and God's with you. Jesus now makes the statement, I've actually come from heaven. I'm going back into heaven again. I am the Son of Man who is even in heaven now. This is a statement of the incarnation, of the deity of Jesus, that Jesus is God. There is no mistaking that the Old Testament taught clearly that the Messiah was going to be God in the flesh. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, Isaiah 9:6 says, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That's the child who would be born, would be called Mighty God. And so Jesus tells Nicodemus, in essence, your confession isn't good enough. You need to understand who I am. I am the Messiah. I am God in the flesh. He goes on to say in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness because the children of Israel had rebelled. And God sent snakes into the camp to judge them. That's a judgment I don't really want. Snakes, they bite them and they would die. And so when Moses and the people repented, God told Moses, put up a pole that has a snake on it. And when people get snake bit, they can look at the pole and they'll be saved. You and I have been snake bit by sin. And therefore, Jesus must be put upon the cross. That is the only way. Notice that he says in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This cannot happen unless Jesus is lifted up. There is no other way for men to find salvation but through the cross of Christ. There is no other way for men to find salvation but through the cross of Christ. No wonder Jesus said at one point, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. It is the preaching of the cross that saves people. By the way, it's offensive to people. People get offended at the preaching of the cross. It will happen. But who cares? It is the cross that saves people.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's Julian Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.